All right, so it looks like the sound is coming in clear, and I think we are ready to begin. So first of all, welcome to this edition of the Fulbright Scholars Wednesday webinar sessions. My name is Michelle Balorchi, and I'm an outreach and recruitment specialist at the Institute of International Education's Washington, D.C. office. And I'm going to be sharing some wonderful opportunities for those of you with a background in law and political science. We have several award opportunities available for faculty, administrators, and researchers, independent scholars, et cetera. Today's offerings will focus on research and teaching awards. We do have a couple professional projects available, but for any of those of you that have recently graduated with a bachelor's degree, this would I would direct you to the Fulbright Student Program that has offerings for post-baccalaureate up to the PhD level. Today's focus is for those that have a terminal degree and are looking to continue their research abroad and collaborate with researchers as well as teach. So on that note, we can proceed. So we've been around a while. Fulbright program has been around for quite some time, and in that we've grown substantially. We are partnered with 160 countries worldwide, and we're looking to offer passionate and accomplished faculty, scholars, artists, journalists, lawyers, and other professionals an opportunity to teach and research abroad. The student program also offers study grants as well, so there's a lot of great opportunities. The mission of the Fulbright program is to foster mutual understanding between nations and advance knowledge across communities while improving lives around the world. We were established in 1946, and it's the United States government's flagship international education and cultural exchange program. So we're happy that we're entering into our 73rd year. It is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State. And I'd have to say also that a lot of the countries that are partnered with us do also fund significant portions of the program. So it is certainly a highly leveraged program, and there's interest from our partner countries to bring American scholars and faculty into the classroom, into the research labs, and into the field. In terms of diversity inclusion, this is something very important to the Fulbright program and the State Department, which is our sponsor. We are looking to attract a cohort of American scholars and grantees that reflect the diversity of U.S. society, and we encourage people from underrepresented audiences to participate in the program. So opportunities are open to all people regardless of background, race, et cetera. So this is something very important to the Fulbright program. Okay, so in terms of baseline eligibility, U.S. citizenship is required. And then depending on the award, a terminal degree, sometimes teaching experience is required. Many are open to those that have a master's degree and significant professional experience. So it's important to take a look at the award description and see what the requirements are. We do have a policy for those that are interested in reapplying to the program. If you've held a grant in the past, we ask that you wait 2 years before you apply. That includes the time that so the 2 years counts from the time you completed the grant to the application deadline. So it needs to be at least 2 years. And other than that, there are some other requirements such as language, et cetera, that that you need to take into consideration when looking at individual grant requirements. Okay, so in terms of deciding which award to apply to, because there are several that we've got over 450, almost 465 award offerings available, and you can only apply to one award. So it's important to consider your experience and your profile and your regional expertise, linguistic expertise, and match it up to the award. If it's an all disciplines award, take a look at the preferred disciplines, the specializations that are preferred. Think of the relevance of your project to that country, that particular host institution, why, think about the need to be in residence in that particular place. And all of those will inform you as to what award would be the best fit. We also have several awards for early career applicants, those that are fresh out of their PhD. We have postdoctoral awards that are geared specifically for postdocs, a few mid-level career options, as well as distinguished chair options for senior faculty that have an extensive publication and teaching record. So be sure that you're also applying to the award that has the right fit in terms of career level. And we also have the flex option, which is allows you to conduct research over two segments. So there are some awards that will indicate whether they have the flex option or not. As I said, there's different awards throughout your career. And then we do have a couple, a few multi-country award options that are regional in nature. We will feature a few of those today. And then, of course, there's the Global Scholar Award if your research project is global in nature and you need to visit more than one geographic region. Please note that if you do not have a home institution, you don't have a current affiliation, you're still welcome to apply to the program. We do encourage professionals, practicing lawyers, independent scholars, emeriti faculty to apply. Okay, so jumping right into the regional world offerings, starting with Sub-Saharan Africa, we have a few awards that I wanted to highlight that are specifically looking for applicants with a background in law or political science. So in Burkina Faso, there's the Business Administration Law or Medical Sciences Award, and this is a 9-month teaching and research grant. And the nice thing is they list there's two possible host institutions, and the host institution will provide a furnished house for the grantee. So housing is something that takes care of. You don't have to worry about that. So it's a wonderful opportunity to be affiliated with the law department at the university there and make an impact. The next one we have is in Cameroon. It's an all-disciplines award, but they do mention political science as a preferred discipline. This is a 10-month grant, so they're looking for someone to have impact at the university teaching these students, their undergraduates and graduates. And then moving on to Rwanda, we have the Arts, Humanities, and Journalism Award. This is a 6 to 10 month grant. You can do teaching or teaching combined with research. There are two possible host universities listed there for scholars to contact. And so this is a wonderful opportunity to have an impact. They are looking for applicants with law and political science. And then at the University of Zambia, it's a multiple disciplines award. It's a 10-month grant, and they are specifically interested in applicants with a background in international relations, leadership and governance, political science, democracy and governance, and elections. So very specific there. So that's a great way to gauge whether you'd be a good fit. And, of course, more information is in the award details. And then right here at the bottom, we have a multi-country. It's an award that actually takes place in several countries. It's up to the grantee, the applicant, to determine which would be the best fit. But I wanted to put it here on the first slide because Côte d'Ivoire is featured as one of the possible hosts. It's the Fulbright Public Policy Fellowship. Now, this is specifically a mid-career, kind of early to mid-career opportunity. The anticipated grantee would have at least a master's degree and maybe one or two or, you know, no more than 5 years of experience. And there are up to 8 grants for these 4 countries, so they're looking to place a couple of grantees in each place. Côte d'Ivoire does have a language requirement, so French, knowledge of French is a requirement. Burma is another option where English is fine. Peru has a requirement of Spanish, and Ukraine, Russian. But I just wanted to feature this up front so you can keep this in mind. And the scholar will be placed at a government ministry in this country, and depending on the focus of you know, where they are placed, the award description details the ministries and the interests of those are the priorities for each country. So take a look at the Fulbright Public Policy Fellowship. If you hold a master's and you've got a couple years of experience, or you're looking to you know, gain some international experience in public policy, this is a great opportunity. Okay, and then moving on to East Asia and the Pacific, we have an award to Australia. It's a partner award. It's a distinguished chair award as well. So this is in applied public policy with Flinders University and Carnegie Mellon University in Australia. And they anticipate the scholar to undertake comparative and collaborative research in the field of applied public policy. The chair will also be encouraged to collaborate with the host institution to, you know, host seminars and workshops and give guest lectures in programs in both at both Flinders and Carnegie Mellon, as well as teach a mini course on applied public policy. So this is a great opportunity for those of you that are further along in your career. Australia has only research award options, so if you're interested in Australia, have a look at the other 13 awards that are available. Burma is particularly keen on receiving applications in international law, human rights, and international property law. So for those of you with that background and, you know, looking to make impact, Burma would be a good option where really they're looking for a lot of American scholars to come, you know, over the next few years and bring their expertise. So more information is available in the award description. And then moving on to China, there's it's two awards. One is the research award and one is the teaching award in social sciences, humanities, and the arts. Now, although the topic is the same, the research grant does require a letter of invitation from a host institution. However, the teaching grant does not permit the grantee to make contact or get a letter. So a letter of invitation for the teaching grant should not be sought. Particularly in terms of the teaching grant, they are looking for scholars with a background in administrative law, business law, constitutional and civil law, as well as intellectual property and copyright or comparative law. So a lot of interest in law in China. And then we've got the China-Taiwan Cross-Strait Studies Research Program. This is a wonderful opportunity for scholars to engage with Taiwan and China in topics that are relevant to those hosts there. So that's a wonderful opportunity. It's the Cross-Strait Studies Research Program. Korea has a Peace Studies Teaching Grant. And this is an interesting opportunity to be placed at the Graduate Institute of Peace Studies at Kyunghee University. This is a teaching grant that's looking for those with a background in conflict and peace, you know, conflict resolution, peace studies, to teach graduate students. So it's a four-month opportunity, and I encourage you to look to the award description for more details. And a letter of invitation should not be sought. And then in Philippines, the Philippines has the U.S.-Philippine Relations Award, and this is an award that's specifically looking for applicants with a background in democracy, diplomacy and international relations, and trade economics, and to really focus the project statement on issues related to the partnership between U.S. and Philippines. And then last but not least, we have a multi-country award. It's the ASEAN Research Program, so the Association for Southeast Asian Nations. This is a wonderful opportunity to conduct research at a regional level. So the applicant, the scholar, can select 2 to 3 countries in the region to conduct research that is relevant to the ASEAN entity. And I encourage all of you that are interested in this to view the website of ASEAN and see the 3 core pillars that guides their policy and their collaboration, and to go from there in terms of considering programs and research projects. So a wonderful multi-country option within the Southeast Asia region. All right, moving on to our largest region in terms of award opportunities. So we have a couple of slides here for Europe and Eurasia. We're starting off with Austria. the Fulbright Diplomatic Academy Visiting Professor of International Studies. So this is at the Diplomatic Academy in Vienna, and they offer the scholar a flexible combination to teach and research that would entail at least teaching two classes in the graduate program. And it is a 5 to 6 month teaching and research grant. So they are flexible with the teaching and research. They are looking for someone to stay for 5 to 6 months and do some research project along with the teaching. So it's a wonderful opportunity to go to Vienna and be a part of this great academy. Belgium also has a very enticing program with the NATO Security Studies Award. This is a wonderful opportunity to, you know, research and collaborate directly with people in NATO. The Belgium Commission works closely with NATO, and you will be able to, in terms of hosting and having the scholar attend the NATO summit, the EU-NATO summit. So it's an exciting opportunity to work on EU-related security issues, along with the U.S. And then the Czech Republic has the Fulbright Masaryk University Distinguished Chair in Social Studies, and they are looking for a chair to teach two classes at the undergraduate and graduate levels, as well as, you know, assist with curriculum development and discuss with faculty in terms of topics of research and seminars and things like that. There is a research component as well. The scholar will be placed at the Faculty of Social Studies at Masaryk, and Masaryk is located in Brno, which is not too far from Prague, but it's another beautiful place to be in the Czech Republic, and they are particularly interested in topics concerning the political economy, security and strategy studies, as well as international relations and political science. The next award is the Fulbright Schumann Chair at the European University Institute. So this year, the award is offered in Italy. Next year, it'll be offered, in other words, the next competition, it'll be offered in Belgium. So it does rotate. So that's why I've just kept it as European Union, because this award is administered by the Commission in Belgium. And so if you receive this grant, you will be under their auspices and also attend the orientation in Brussels. All right, and then the award to Finland, the Fulbright University of Turku Scholar Award. Now, this is open to all disciplines. They do have a law faculty where they're very keen to have an American scholar come. And the University of Turku, for those of you that don't know, it's located in Finland's oldest city. It's an international research university, and it's a very got a very vibrant community of 24,000 students and staff. Students come from over 100 countries, so this is kind of the place to be in Finland. It's one of the leading universities, and the scholar will be placed in the Faculty of Law. And for those of you, and I didn't mention it, but Turku is located about 100 miles outside of Helsinki, so closer to the Swedish side, Swedish board area, country. So moving along, we've got Georgia. So the Republic of Georgia has an All Disciplines Award, and they are particularly interested in conflict resolution and international studies. So that would be something to consider. Again, with an All Disciplines Award, it's always recommended to look at the preferred disciplines and specializations to see where you'd be a good fit. So for those of you in IR and conflict resolution, you might want to consider Georgia. And then we have the Fulbright National University of Public Service grant to Hungary. There's more information in the award description. I want to, for the sake of time, I want to continue on to the next award, Iceland, the Fulbright Ministry for Foreign Affairs, the Arctic Scholars. So this is a unique opportunity for a U.S. grantee to be placed directly, to work directly with the Ministry for Foreign Affairs on Arctic-related issues. So anything relating to Arctic law, polar law, political science, all of those things that are you know, related to Arctic studies. Okay, and then our next slide of opportunities in the region, moving along to Italy. There's a lectureship at the Department of Political Science and Social Sciences at the University of Bologna. And Bologna is a charming city in northern Italy. It's one of the oldest, if not the oldest, university in Europe. So this is really a wonderful opportunity for scholars to be placed kind of in the heart of Europe in the teaching and political science. The next award offering to Italy is the Chair Award at the University of Trento. And Trento is also in northern Italy, just a couple hours outside of Venice, north of Venice. And again, this is a chair award, so they're looking for someone who's a senior scholar to teach a little bit, and but really to advise and kind of serve as a chair in, as a chair capacity, giving workshops and seminars, things like that. We have an award to North Macedonia, specifically titled The Rule of Law, Judiciary Reform, and Civil Society. So for law scholars, this is a wonderful opportunity to be placed in North Macedonia. It's one of the few grants they have, and it's very specific to those of you with law and political science backgrounds. So I encourage you to view that if you're looking for something, a different kind of place where Fulbrighters have a lot of impact because there's not several Fulbrighters. It's a small program. Norway has a unique opportunity, international courts and tribunals. This is a wonderful opportunity for scholars who are working on international law to interact with and collaborate with other researchers in Norway. And so there's more information about the details and specifics in terms of the host institution in the award description. And then we have an award to the University of Minho in Portugal, specifically looking for applicants with a law background. And the same is true for the award to Spain at the University of La Laguna. This is in the Canary Islands, so off the coast of West Africa. There's in Tenerife, so a wonderful place if you want to have a great Fulbright experience outside of the host institution, wonderful scenic place to be. And then we have the award to Sweden, the Fulbright Lund University Chair in Public International Law. So this is partnered with Lund. The scholar will be placed there and not only teach, but also advise graduate students and conduct seminars and workshops. Okay, so moving on to the Middle East and North Africa, we have four awards that specifically are looking for scholars with law and political science. So the American University in Cairo is offering a 1 to 2 semester grant to teach, research, or do both. And the scholar will be placed either at the School of Humanities and Social Sciences or the School of Global Affairs and Public Policy. So again, this is a 1 or 2 semester grant. In Kuwait, it's an all disciplines award. They do list possible host institutions. So if you're interested in learning more about where you'd be a good fit in Kuwait, the universities are listed there. You can reach out to them. You can also look at our scholar directory and see where past grantees have been placed. And this is a teaching and research award for 4 to 9 months. Moving on to Oman, a beautiful country, very close to the UAE, bordering the UAE. They do list their preferred specialization, so although it's an all-disciplines award, specifically they're looking for applicants with a background in law, specifically intellectual property rights, trade, or dispute resolution. And there is a list of host universities for the scholars to explore. And then in the West Bank, Palestinian territories in the West Bank, we have an all-disciplines award. And specifically, they are looking for peace studies and conflict resolution experts. And they do list host universities in the grant description as well. Okay, so moving along, and we're making good time because I want to have enough time for questions at the end. We've got the award opportunities in South and Central Asia. So the largest award offerings are in India. It's the largest Fulbright Commission there. The Fulbright Nehru Academic and Professional Excellence Award, there are 45 grants available, so that means up to 45 scholars will be placed in India under this award. It is open to professionals outside of academia, as the title suggests, and there are a whole host of universities and research centers and NGOs where the grantee can be placed. So India is a great option, and teaching and research, English is usually the language that all of that is done in. In Kazakhstan, there's the All Disciplines Award. This is a great opportunity to explore Central Asia and to teach and research and have an impact there. The grants are either 5 or 10 months, and you can do teaching, research, or a combination of both. And the interesting thing about Kazakhstan is they recently announced that English will be the third national language, third official language. So they are really interested in bringing Fulbright scholars over and teaching the course material in English and really having, building capacity in that way. In terms of the Maldives, which is another wonderful location to be placed in, I would say, off the tip of India, the southern tip of India, they are specifically, this is a teaching award, and they are specifically looking for just a few specializations. And in terms of law, they're looking for criminal, judicial, or rule of law. And so the scholar would be placed at the National University there in Malé, in the capital. And so that is the host institution, so it's important to take to make contact with them to get the letter of invitation. Nepal has an All Disciplines Award for teaching and research. The breakdown of the teaching is 80% and research is 20%, so the focus really is on teaching. And for scholars in law, they will be placed at the Kathmandu School of Law, so that's the capital city. Nepal is an interesting place to be now as a lawyer or a law professor because they've recently rewritten, they have a new constitution, so new things, kind of exciting things happening there for scholars in law. And then last but not least, Uzbekistan, another country in Central Asia that is very interested in hosting more Fulbright scholars. And keep in mind, when you go to Central Asia, you're one of a few, so you have a lot more scope for impact and for really kind of bridging U.S. and Central Asian ties. And so Uzbekistan is one wonderful option to consider. It's an All Disciplines Award. And more information is in the award description. All right, so moving on to the Western Hemisphere. This is the last region that we'll be focusing on. And Brazil has a couple opportunities that I wanted to highlight. There's a couple chair awards. So the first one is a chair in international relations at the University of Sao Paulo. So again, for senior scholars interested in, perhaps teaching a little bit, but really kind of serving as a chair, guiding graduate students, holding workshops and seminars, giving a lecture here and there in international relations. The other one is the Distinguished Chair in Public Policy at the Joaquim Nabuco Foundation. And so this is a partner award with this foundation, so they're specifically looking for scholars in public policy. So a couple of great opportunities in Brazil. Brazil also has several other awards available, and the Fulbright Commission there is very large and very supportive for grantees once they start their grant. Moving on to Canada, another very large commission that is also very supportive to grantees, has a lot of, you have your orientation and all of that when you arrive. There is several award options in the research chairs in policy, law, and governance. And depending on your specific background and project, they do highlight various host opportunities. So, for example, if you are in political and constitutional theory, you would be at McGill University. If you have a focus on public policy, governance, and public administration, you would be at the University of Ottawa. So it's important to take a look specifically at where the particular specializations are. There's the University of Saskatchewan, there's the University of Ottawa University, and McGill. So those are the three main ones where the scholar could be placed. And there's several opportunities there. Guatemala specifically, has an all disciplines award, but they do mention the specializations dealing, any projects dealing with effective governance or addressing economic drivers of migration, economic development, and citizen security are particularly welcome. These are very relevant topics to the country at the moment. It is a 4 to 9 month grant, so that's what Guatemala has. There are several other disciplines that they're open to as well. And Mexico has a U.S. studies chair, and this is, again, a more senior position they're looking for scholars to engage with U.S.-Mexico relations, so political science topics and issues, international law, all of that is applicable for the U.S. studies chair. And then we have a postdoc award. So on the other end, for those that are early career applicants, the Fulbright Garcia Robles Postdoc Scholar Award in Mexico, and a great opportunity for postdoc scholars. Again, postdocs, in terms of the eligibility in the Fulbright program, are applicants who have received their PhD within the last 5 years. And then we have a multi-country option, and that's specifically Mexico and Canada. It's called the Fulbright Carlos Rico Award for North American Studies. And this is a great opportunity if your project involves both research in Canada and Mexico. The Carlos Rico Award would be your way to go. The topic, of course, does need to relate to something with North America, so these two particular countries and how they interact and all of that. But this is a great opportunity for the scholar to select the host, determine the research project, and have at least 2 to 3 months in each country. So Carlos Rico is the multi-country award. And then last but not least, Uruguay has an all-disciplines award, and specifically they are looking for scholars in political science and law. So again, a great opportunity to explore in Uruguay, in South America, just kind of below Brazil. It's a country that most people don't think about when they think about Fulbright, but it's a wonderful, beautiful country to visit, and I encourage you, if you're interested, to see what other disciplines and specializations they seek. All right, so let's take a look. Before we get into the application components and whatnot, I wanted to see how we stand on questions. So if we, okay, looks like we've answered all the questions right along. Excellent. Okay, so moving along to, you've seen the award opportunities. You've seen that there's several that are open to all disciplines that have specializations listed. You also have seen very specific awards in the titles that mention what they're looking for. Now we're going to dig into the application component. So what you see here is specifically what is required, the online application form. You'll need a project statement. It's 3 to 5 pages. Your CV, 6 or 8 pages, depending on the award, 3 letters of reference, and then the additional components listed here, depending on the award. Keep in mind, all of these components do have page limits or file limits, so that's kind of the key thing to consider. In terms of the project statement, we, in 3 to 5 pages, we're looking for you to give us as much detail as possible. So what you hope to do, why you hope to do it, why it's relevant to the host country or the host institution, why are you interested in doing this through Fulbright, so mentioning, you know, perhaps the mission or something, what is it in the Fulbright program that appeals to you and makes sense for this project, what are the goals of the research project or the teaching project, what are the outcomes that you anticipate, not only for you, you know, in terms of your career, but also the host, will there be kind of some, you know, legacy of your project once you leave. And then again, how adaptable are you and how well can you deal with challenging situations? Again, we all know going to a different place, dealing with, you know, circumstances we can't really anticipate. There's always curveballs that come our way. And so having kind of a plan B or at least being able to adjust your project for any kind of unanticipated issues that come up. So those are the things we're looking for in the project statement. Again, 3 to 5 pages and citations, in-text citations, footnotes, endnotes, none of that's required. You can detail all of that in the bibliography. We get a lot of questions about affiliations and letters of invitation. We know that a lot of the awards, more than half of the awards in the catalog, do require a letter of invitation from the host institution. So we have some guidelines on our website as to how you can start that kind of contact. For the awards that list the particular host institution, they typically have a name and an email address of the person who's the designated contact to provide the letter of invitation. So we recommend that you, you know, email them your resume and kind of an abstract of your project and all of that, and then they will determine whether they would like to invite you. If a host institution is not listed in the award, then you have a couple of options. You can look at the, you know, talk to your international office if you have one and see if you've hosted any visiting professors and scholars from abroad, see where they, you know, see if they can broker some contacts for you. We also have the Fulbright Scholar Directory, which is a wonderful resource to search scholars both inbound and outbound, so U.S. scholars going abroad and incoming scholars to the U.S., to see where they came from, what host, what institution, what their projects were, et cetera. Keep in mind that the letter of invitation is non-binding, so it's just something that the if the host is required to provide that for you, specifically for the partner awards, they will be providing it to everybody who writes to them that has a decent project. So keep that in mind. It does not indicate that you are accepted. But it should come from someone you hope to collaborate with, if not the designated person in the award description, and it should be on an institutional letterhead. And ideally, it would have as much detail as possible so that what you've outlined in your project statement matches clearly to the letter of invitation. All right, so kind of just, again, just on one slide, you can see all of the points we've hit on. We look at the application holistically, and we try and determine the following. So why Fulbright, right? So be sure to address why you're interested in the program and serving as a cultural ambassador, promoting mutual understanding, why that particular host country, the professional experience that you can offer, why it makes sense for you to be the person conducting this research or doing this teaching. So, you know, clearly demonstrating how you are best suited for this and that the project is feasible. The outcomes, the impact, and the multiplier effect, I can't underscore this enough. So, whether it's publications as an outcome, whether it's kind of an extended collaboration, or you inviting your host to become a Fulbrighter at your institution, any kind of linkages that you can speak to professionally or institutionally, as well as your curriculum or, you know, teaching methods in the classroom, kind of internationalizing that. So Fulbright's looking for high-impact, innovative projects that can make a difference. Okay, so the review process and timeline. So we've got a little over 3 months until the application deadline on September 16. And then after that, we do the technical review. And by October 1st, we begin the peer review sessions in Washington, D.C. And that concludes in November. And then after that, applicants are then notified of their status, and anybody who's recommended, their applications are sent to the host countries for the final review. And between January and April, grantees are notified of their whether they're selected or not. So it's a wide range. Countries, some countries move faster than others, but again, it can be January till April. And from May onwards, grantees prepare for their grants in terms of filling out forms, getting the medical exam, all of those things to sign off, attend a pre-departure orientation if the orientation is not held in country. So that's kind of a brief summary of the review process. And I wanted to include here in this, one of the last slides, some sample projects that have come from political science and law. So you can see the first one, Advanced Contracts and Cooperative and Collaborative Teaching and Pedagogy Principles in Law. And this person was based at the National Law University in New Delhi, India. Then there's the grantee to South Africa from Ohio State, and they were looking at social foundations of political engagement in the country. So that was one successful grant. Another one was in Sweden. This was something that, this one was a recent grantee, the nature, scope, and limits of the principle of universal jurisdiction in international law. This was a teaching and research, the chair award to Lund University. And then in Brazil, the Federal University of Bahia was the host institution, and the topic was science-bringing feminism in Brazil, and this was a teaching and research grant. And then to Italy, at the chair award in Trento, the forced migration crisis in Europe. So you can see all of these topics kind of really hit on things that are relevant to the country and to the particular host institution. So again, I just wanted to share with you just a few highlights of past grantees, and you can find all of this information in our Fulbright Scholar directory. And here's some information to stay connected. We encourage everyone to, if you haven't done so already, to join My Fulbright. This is a subscription-based kind of opportunity to get our emails, updates, when the webinars are being hosted, etc. If you have any questions after this webinar, please do contact us. I did try and put the, we can go back to one of the regional, if you look on the regional awards, you'll see at the top right corner the regional email inbox for these queries. So, and if you don't have a country in mind, please direct your queries to scholars@iie.org. But certainly every award description has the name and contact number of the particular person in charge of that that region. And we also encourage you to visit our website for more resources. There's tons of resources available in terms of sample project statements, guidelines, etc. And of course, we always encourage you to refer your colleagues and also engage in our social media. There's a lot of great stuff out there. Fulbrighters are constantly posting about their experiences while they're on their grant. So, all right, so we've just made it to about 15 minutes for questions, so we've kind of finished right on time, and let's take a look to see if we have any questions. All right. Okay, so the first question says, asks, are the teaching positions looking for people with a background or experience in teaching? So that's a good question. Typically, the awards that are specifically teaching awards will require at least 3 years full-time at the university level, so 3 years of full-time teaching at the higher education level. Others, where it's open to professionals outside of academia, they may be open to having someone with less experience, but again, if you have a particular award in mind and you'd like to get more information, we're always happy to contact the commissions on your behalf, or the countries that don't have Fulbright commissions where it's administered by the U.S. Embassy, we can double check with them. But typically, typically if you are a professional that's outside of academia and the award is open to you, it should be fine. Okay, all right, so we have another question. How much of a disadvantage is it to apply to a country in which you have an interest and where political science is a possible discipline, but it's not on the preferred list of specializations or discipline? So that's a good question. So again, keep in mind, the preferred list of disciplines or specializations is just that, it's preferred. So they may get some applications in that might not be very compelling or innovative, and if your application, even though it's not one of the preferred specializations, if it is listed in the award description as being one of the possible disciplines, absolutely I would encourage you to apply for it if it's of particular relevance to that country or that host institution. So again, kind of keep things in mind, keep kind of a holistic view of how your award or your project speaks to that award, and don't get too hung up on the specializations. Again, I drew these specifically out for the webinar. Again, there are a lot of awards that are open to all disciplines or multiple disciplines, and again, it's just their kind of request, it's their preference, but certainly if they receive really compelling exciting projects that are not in the preferred list, they will certainly go with those. Okay. Let's see. Can you give us some more guidance on obtaining letters of invitation? I emailed the contact person listed on May 24th, and I followed up, but I haven't gotten a response. Okay. So in that case, if you followed up and, you know, you sent two emails to them, why don't you just contact us? So whoever the program staff member listed in the award description, send us an email, and we will kind of expedite that and reach out to our contacts overseas and see if they can provide us an answer. It could be that, you know, we're now starting in June, so there might be people taking vacation or things kind of getting bottlenecked with placements of, you know, other parts of the program. So yeah, feel free to reach out to us. Okay, so let's see. We have another question. Similar to what you spoke of, if you have a research topic in mind, how do you go about narrowing the country down? Award and freedom to do the project would take priority over the location. So again, I think it's important to consider everything. You know, your background, your expertise, you know, what the award is looking for, any particular preferences, the length of the award, the activity, is it just teaching, is it just research, is it both? And think about what you intend to do, what you hope to do. And if you need 6 months but the award is only open to 4 months, then you can kind of cross that off your list and kind of narrow things down. And once you've narrowed it down to maybe two or three award options, feel free to email us and we can kind of assist you in, you know, guiding you if we have more information particular to that those countries. So yeah, it is a challenge because you can only select one. So think of where you would be most competitive and where your research would really shine or your teaching would really shine and where you could have the most impact, where your project would be the most compelling and innovative. Okay, and then we have one last question. How is adjunct teaching experience viewed, especially when combined with professional work experience? Okay, this is a great question. So we do encourage adjuncts to apply to the program. They are certainly welcome. So if you are looking at an award that requires 3 years of full-time teaching and you've just been teaching part-time, if your 5 or 6 years of part-time teaching equates to 3 years, I mean, I think that's kind of what they're looking for is the equivalent. So certainly that might be an exception, so you could apply to that award if it's just asking for that. The awards that are open to, we have kind of two applicant profiles. If you look on the second tab of an award, you'll see who it's open to. It'll either say open to academics, or it'll say open to academics and appropriately qualified professionals outside of academia. So that's where you'd want to look because you could show you're both in the field as well as at the university. So I hope that helps and answers your question. Let me see if we've got any others that have come in. Oops. Let's go back to the next one here. I think we've hit on everything. Okay. Oh, this is another question. How much does the prestige of the host institution matter? If I have invitations from more than one institution, is it wise to choose the more prestigious one to pursue? So I think that's a great question, and I think there's several things to consider. The first thing you'd want to consider is what makes sense for your project. Where will you flourish? Okay. The other thing you want to consider is what has been the Fulbright experience at these universities? If the more prestigious one continually has a flow of Fulbrighters every year, you might want to go with the one that doesn't always get all the Fulbrighters, where you can, you know, have a little more impact and spread, you know, be spread. Have the program spread across. And I think that's really what the commissions are looking for, is that all things being equal, they would really like to see more scholars going to other places outside of the big cities, outside of the capital. So that's something to consider. And so think about, you know, your project and where you would have the most impact, but it's also, you know, what makes sense to your project as well as where you, you know, where you'd have the most impact. And if you are going to a place that doesn't continually receive Fulbrighters, you could potentially have more impact. So that was a great question. Let's see, I think we've hit on all of them. Check again. Okay, so it looks like we don't have any more. Oh, one more just came in. All right. Are there opportunities in sub-Saharan Africa that were not listed? Oh, absolutely. I mean, I could have made this webinar 4 hours long if we really wanted to, but I just put some highlights. So sub-Saharan Africa actually has a lot of all disciplines awards. So if you go on the awards catalog and you filter specifically for sub-Saharan Africa, I would say the vast majority of awards are open to all disciplines. I specifically just pulled out those that mentioned law and political science specializations, but certainly have a look and see where you'd be a good fit. There's also a lot of the awards in sub-Saharan Africa do mention specific host institutions, so you can get an idea of where you'd be placed there as well. And again, that's true for all of the regions. Keep in mind these were just highlights. There are over 200 plus awards. So there's over 200 awards in law and political science. There's about 100 for each that specifically mention law or political science. So that doesn't count all of the all disciplines awards. So I would say more than half the catalog is open to all of you. But again, these were just highlights, where they're really looking to bring in experts with your backgrounds. So we've got about 5 minutes to spare. I don't see any other questions coming in, but if you do have some that come up later, please direct them our way. Again, you can reach out to us for general inquiries at scholars@iie.org. Otherwise, if you have specific questions about the awards in the catalog, please do contact the staff person mentioned listed in the award. All right, thank you so much for joining us on this edition of Webinar Wednesdays with the Fulbright Scholar Program. We look forward to having you join us again. Bye-bye.